to get in each other's space and in each other's face in order to call out on the behalf of not only our loved ones in the house, but our loved ones outside of the house. And so it's been a blessing. And I like to say thank you to the leadership here in leading us into that moment, because like I said, I know that it's something that I've always desired, but not necessarily put into practice. And I'm so glad that this was an opportunity taken, that we are able to see God's power manifested in different ways. And one of the main ways is our unity. I would say that the unity that God has given me and my wife right now is the seedbed for the supernatural. I'll just say it that way. It's the seedbed for the supernatural. I said I wanted to do something a little bit different. I don't usually sing before I preach, but there's a song that I taught the students at school that simply says, "Open my eyes, Lord, I want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch him, to show him I love him. Open my ears, Lord, and help me to listen. Open my eyes, Lord, I want to see Jesus." Can you sing that with me? "Open my eyes, Lord, I want to see Jesus. I want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch him. To reach out and touch him. To show him I love him. To show him I love him. Open my ears, Lord. Open my ears, Lord, and help me to listen. And help me to listen. Open my eyes, Lord. Open my eyes, Lord. I want to see Jesus. I want to see Jesus." That's so good. We got to do that one more time. "Open my eyes. Open my eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus. We want to see Jesus. To reach out and touch him. To reach out and touch him. And show him we love him. Show him we love him. Open my ears, Lord. Open my ears, Lord. And help me to listen, and help me to listen. Open my eyes, Lord. I want to see Jesus." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm so excited about the opportunity to get an opportunity to talk about something that's near and dear to my heart. I thought I would start out with a question, though. How many married people do we have in the house today? How many married people do we have in the house today? Look around. Look around. Now, we know that Valentine's Day was a couple days ago. I hope you were very responsible with not just showing love then, but showing love on a consistent basis to your spouse. I had the opportunity last night to participate in what was called a celebration of marriage, and that's when a bunch of couples got together for the express purpose of celebrating what God gave us in the covenant of marriage. And we had so much fun. We laughed, we danced, we enjoyed ourselves. One of the best times was the newlywed game. They actually had four couples participate in the newlywed game. And of those four couples, they asked the ones that had been married the longest, which were married for 36 years, and the ones that had been married for the least amount of time, which was three months. And one of those couples actually won the game. Which couple do you suppose that that was? It was the one with 3 months. Why do you believe that that could possibly be? Any answers? He said they're still fresh in knowing each other. Anybody else? The old couple's losing their memory. Anybody else? I didn't hear you. You said something? Yes. They're still young enough to remember. Well, I thought that one of the reasons, or I surmised that one of the reasons that I believe that they won the game was because of the, not necessarily the quantity of time that they had spent together, but the quality of the time that they had spent together in the recent past. And that quality of the time that they had spent together in the recent past gave them an opportunity to investigate one another, gave them an opportunity to ask probing questions, because they just wanted to know so much about that other person, who wanted to know so much about them. And those things that they learned from that other person, they were immediately able to interact with that person in a way that gave them a power and a strength to feel comfortable enough to enter one of the most difficult covenants or institutions that God has given on the face of the planet, which is that covenant of marriage. And so when I was thinking about a title for today's message, the title that God gave me was one that I'll come back around to at the end of the message, which is Much Prayer, Much Power. Much Prayer, Much Power. This morning, I want us to remember that our time with God is essential for us in order for us to know Him. However, the quality of the time that we spend with Him will determine the wins in our lives. They will determine the wins in our lives. As Pastor John has said, we've been participating in Awaken. And there was one story, and I'm not sure whether or not he actually shared this story, but this story, I think, accentuates that point that I was attempting to make as far as the quality of time that a person spends with their Creator. We know that prayer is essentially an opportunity for us to communicate with the Creator, but it's so much more than that. One of the reasons why I didn't necessarily want to start off talking about prayer was, I know, first of all, we're in a series. We're in a series on prayer. And a lot of times when you're talking about prayer, people have a lot of different reactions. They come into this moment either feeling inadequate because they haven't spent enough time in prayer. Maybe they didn't participate in the prayer and fasting. Maybe they see prayer as something that they've never been good at. Maybe they see it simply as a spiritual discipline. By a show of hands, how many people get excited when someone says, hey, let's get together and learn a spiritual discipline? I don't know how many people get excited when people are talking about spiritual disciplines. It is a spiritual discipline. But I would put to you, if it's only a spiritual discipline, we could possibly be missing out on something that God had intended originally in the beginning with the creation of prayer that spiritual disciplines can't bring our way. And what I'm talking about is a closeness. I'm talking about a nearness. See, a discipline doesn't necessarily bring nearness. It brings lifestyle. It brings habits that turn into lifestyles, but it doesn't necessarily bring nearness. And I believe that God wants us to pray, not just because of what it does for us, but what it does to us. And one of the things that it does to us is it makes us aware of the God who's aware of us. It makes us aware of the God who's aware of us. Now, One of my favorite scriptures in the Bible that speaks of discipline is Hebrews 12:11, which says, "No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it will produce a harvest of righteousness for those who have been trained by it." I'll say that again. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, though, it will produce a harvest of peace and righteousness for those who have been trained by it. So what I'm not saying is that it shouldn't be a discipline in your life, or that we shouldn't practice disciplines in our lives. We are supposed to practice disciplines in our lives, and prayer would be one of those disciplines. But my practicing that discipline is an opportunity for me to be close to God and to know him even as I'm known. Now, I don't know, like I said, if Pastor John has shared this story. This story came from day four, and it's about the Scottish preacher. Did you share that story with everyone? Okay. It says, on April 10th, 1912, a Scottish preacher named John Harper with his six-year-old daughter and her sister boarded the Titanic to head for America to preach at the church of A Scottish preacher named John Harper with his six-year-old daughter and his sister boarded the Titanic to head to America to preach at the church in Chicago, Illinois, pastored by Dwight L. Moody. 4 days later, at 11:40 p.m., while John was doing his nightly devotion, the Titanic hit an iceberg and began to sink. John wrapped his six-year-old daughter in a blanket, kissed her on the forehead, and placed her along with his sister on the lifeboat. He knew he would likely never see them again. Then John went up and down the deck of the Titanic, pleading with Christians to give up their spots on the lifeboats so that those who were not yet followers of Jesus could survive and have a chance to be saved by God's or Jesus' transforming love. It goes on to say, John Harper stayed on the boat until the very last moment when he jumped off into the icy water. Those who saw him that night told stories of how he swam from person to person in the cold, dark waters of the North Atlantic, sharing the gospel with anyone who would listen before the cold set in and they sank to their death. There is no denying that the love of God was flowing in the veins of John Harper. He was a man overflowing with the love of heaven. Goes on to say, I'm convinced that human beings on their own accord cannot will themselves to love strangers like John Harper did that evening. I think it's literally impossible apart from God. Now, the reason why I shared that story was because I'm sure that John Harper was a person who participated in spiritual disciplines. I'm sure he read his word. I'm sure he prayed. But one thing I know is that he was close enough to God that in the moment when God chose to display his power in the earth, in that moment, he was able to use John Harper. And he was able to use John Harper because John Harper had spent so much time with the Father, and not just so much time, but he made much of the time that he spent with the Father. That when he got into that moment, he started to reflect the Son. I'm going to say that again. He spent so much time with the Father that when he got into that moment when challenge arose, when a crisis of belief showed up, and he had to make a decision for God, with God, he didn't even think about it. But power became available. And I'm telling you here today that a lot of times we want to see miracles. We want to see signs. We want to see wonders. I would put before you that some of the reasons why we don't see miracles, signs, and wonders is because of our lack of closeness with the Father. Our lack of closeness with the Father. You see, we know that at times in our lives, I know personally, the times that I've seen God use this mess of a man that I am in order to bring his supernatural heavenly expression into the earth realm, it hasn't necessarily been because I've prayed a whole lot, you all. It hasn't been because I've prayed the right words. It hasn't been because I've done all of the right things. It's because I recognized in that moment that God wanted to do something through me that was not even about me. And when I got out of the way because I had the right perspective of who he was, due to being in his presence enough to recognize him as who he says he is, I moved out of the way. And God allowed me in that moment to see his supernatural work manifest in the earth. It's funny. I was just sitting over here on the side, and young man with his mom, he goes to Lighthouse. He turned and saw that I was sitting over there. And he says, just starts smiling and pointing. And he's trying to get his mom's attention. She's turning around. She's like, okay, son, what's going on? Well, the reason why he was so excited is because whenever I see him at school, we have a party. Because it's time for chapel on Wednesday morning. And whenever I come in, and this is a side note, I'm going to get back to the story in a minute. Whenever I come in, because I had to do some teaching there, whenever I came into the auditorium, the students would say, Pastor Mike, Pastor Mike, Pastor Mike. And I could see that was going to go really bad really quickly. But I understood why they were doing it. Why they were doing it was because they understood that I saw them. They understood that I had a desire to be with them, that I wasn't just coming to put on a show. I was coming to be with them. And then when I was coming to be with them, it was no longer about me. It was about them. And so I had to do a teaching moment because, like I said, I work with other adults, some of whom don't necessarily take too kindly or don't investigate to see what's going on. And so I said, okay, you all, I said, when we come into these times are not about me. These times are about the fact that God has given us to each other and given us an opportunity to lift him up. Because when we lift him up, he comes and he dwells with us like we get to dwell with one another. And so I said, instead of saying Pastor Mike, we're going to say Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ. And so whenever, and she's shaking her head because whenever I come in and when they say, okay, it's time for Pastor Mike to get up to preach, Jesus Christ, and it's deafening. It is deafening. But there is so much of a sweet spirit that comes in that place as a result of those young people. Now, I told you I had to do some teaching. I had to do some teaching because a young lady came up to me. She's a kindergartner. She said, hi, Jesus Christ. I said, I'm not Jesus Christ. I'm Pastor Mike. She said, I know you're Pastor Mike, but you're Jesus Christ too. And so it gave me an opportunity to just share with them more about who God was. And the reason why I even brought that up, you all, is because I made much about them and spending time with them, the power that I have in terms of influence on their life becomes greater. The ability for me to speak into their lives has started to grow at an exponential rate, to where parents are coming to see who this Pastor Mike is. And, you know, Isaac said to me, he was talking about his son, one of his sons. He said he knew I was coming over to the house. We were doing a meeting the other day at the house for youth ministry. And he said, my son said he wanted to make a sign for you. He knew you were in the other room. He wanted to make a sign. I said, a sign for me? He said, yeah, and guess what he wanted to put on it? Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ. I said, praise God. I said, praise God. Now, the reason why, like I said, I'm reiterating this over and over and over again is because I think we have the wrong perception about why we should pray. I think even though the word says that we should not pray like the heathen does, that we would be heard for a much saying, that we get into a habit sometime of saying much instead of making much of the one that we're saying to. And so I want to challenge you today. I want to challenge you today to take another look at Jesus. Take another look at the Savior. Because if we look at the life of God the Father and the God the Son, we see some things. And one of the things that we see is that Jesus spent quality time with the Father. He spent quality time with the Father to the point where he said, I only do what the Father tells me to do. I only see what he shows me. I only go where he tells me to go. Now, when we think about people who are like that, we kind of think that they're, we might say weird. We might say weird. How many people in here know a person who is so dedicated to a life of prayer that when you met them, originally you thought they were weird? Who will admit that? It's not that they're weird, you all. It's not. Because if you spend enough time with them, you'll be able to see that their relationship with God is so, and not everyone, of course, but those who have learned how to cultivate a relationship with God have done so in such a way that they have a connection with Him that other people don't have. And as a result, they don't walk like other people walk. They don't talk like other people talk. But some of those same people are the people who we go look for when we find ourselves in a crisis of belief. Why? Because they may be weird, but they know how to get a prayer through. They may not be the first person who I think about, but when I think about them and I'm in a situation, then I'm going to them. Everybody knows the prayer warriors in this house. Amen. Mom, can you stand up, Mom? All right. When I got here one Sunday morning early, and I walked into this room right over here. The office is right over here. And I was getting ready because I was preparing a message. And in that message, I wanted to get away to just make sure that I had my notes and everything the way that it was supposed to be. And I walked into this room, and Mom was in the room. I'm like, man, am I not supposed to be in here? I said, is there another meeting going on here in here? She said, yes, prayer. Takes place at 8:30 every morning. every Sunday morning in his back room. How many of y'all knew that that was happening? Not enough. I'm talking about calling out on behalf of everyone who's sitting in this room right now, that they would have an experience with God that is undeniable and that will change everything. She's dedicated her life to doing that. And as a result, power emanates from her life. Anybody who's around her for any point in time, it's as if you're walking with Jesus. Why? Because of the closeness that she has with him. Now, that's not just because she's logged a lot of hours in prayer, you all. It's because she's learned how to cultivate the presence of being with God. And in a moment when we're spending all of this time, because you can go through and you can have the habit of, or you can take time aside to pray and fast for 30 days. Then when that 30 days is over, you're right back to everything that you were doing prior to. That's not what this fast was for, you all. This fast here, which was year number two, was to break chains off of your life that have been holding you back in years past from being everything that God created you to be. This fast here was not just about your life, though. This one was about the lives of the people around you. Because last year we focused on the community at large, but we focused primarily on ourselves as well. This year was intentionally about our neighbors. It was about our neighbors. We don't naturally just love our neighbors. But part of the reason why we don't naturally love our neighbors is because we don't naturally love ourselves the way that God intended for us to love ourselves. And part of the reason why we don't love ourselves the way that we should is because we don't love God the way that we should. And so as we start to cultivate our relationship with him, because a relationship is about communication. My wife and I have been married 18 years. And I would love to say that I was a good communicator, but anytime I'm around her, I'm able to see that I'm not as clear as I would like to be in my communication. But I know that the closeness that we have in the times that we're able to communicate allows us to have a power to influence our community, starting with our home, our church, our family, in ways that we're not able to do so if we don't communicate. I've had an opportunity to spend a lot of time with young couples, you all, married young couples, and unfortunately here when they call me on the phone and say, hey, we don't think this thing is going to work out. Part of the reason is because the closeness is not there. Part of the reason of that is because they stopped at some point communicating. Because Christianity was never supposed to be about religious rites and disciplines. It was supposed to be about a relationship with Jesus, and relationships with God the Father, and a relationship with the Holy Spirit that's cultivated primarily through prayer. Primarily through prayer from us to him. Primarily from his word, from him to us. And so the reason why, and I want to end this way, the reason why I named this sermon, if you will, Much Prayer, Much Power, is because of the fact I used to go to a church. It's a church where I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, House of Prayer Church in Dayton, Ohio. And every time when we would go home, they would say. Much prayer, repeat after me, much prayer, much power. Little prayer, little power. No prayer, no power. And we would say that over and over and over and over and over again. And there's some people in this room right now who are wondering why they don't have the power that they need. And I would submit to you, it's because you just haven't taken the opportunity yet to know the God who loved you so much that when you rebelled against him in the person of Adam and Eve, and that relationship was broken off, that fellowship where he walked with them in the stillness, the cool of the day, and he talked with him, where that was broken off. He loved you so much that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, into the earth in order to restore everything that the enemy had stolen from mankind. But guess what, y'all? He did that. He went to the cross. He won. All authority, all power, all dominion is his. And he gave those things to his children, to his disciples. He gave them to us. And what he's saying is, am I enough for you? Because I wasn't enough for Adam and Eve. Am I enough for you? Will you cultivate a relationship with me whether or not you ever see anything in return? If you ever feel like you're close to me, if you ever see miracles, signs, and wonders, will you still want me just because I want to be with me just because I want to be with you? I'll leave you with this. One of the things that God said to me in prayer was something I don't know if I shared with you yet or not, and that was, Mike, and I'm a very ambitious person in the spirit. He said, Mike, if the greatest thing that you ever do in this life is be a good husband and be a good father, would that be enough for you? And I remember pacing the floor as he's talking to me. Pacing the floor because I didn't know. I didn't have an answer. I didn't have an answer because I had all of these things in my heart that I wanted to do for God. I had all of these dreams and ambitions, these miracles, signs, and wonders that I wanted him to work through my life. But what I understand now is that he was trying to show me the closeness that would become the seedbed for those other things to happen. You know, because the first ministry that God gave me, the closest people who I'm supposed to have influence over are those who are inside of my house. And if I'm exercising being close to them the way that I'm supposed to, then all of the other things line up in order for me to be able to be who I'm supposed to be in this church. I'll say it that way, or at the school. But if I'm outside of that relationship where I'm neglecting spending the type of time that he would have me spend with my wife, cultivating the relationship that he would have me spend with my children, then I'm disqualifying myself from the opportunity to do what he had me to do otherwise. Because if you're faithful over the little, he'll make you ruler over the much. Some of you out here today are like me. You're very ambitious. You want to do great things for God. Well, God wants you to do great things. As a matter of fact, he gave you to do great things. But the greatest thing that you could possibly do for God is to know his will And his will is his way of doing things and being right, which is also his kingdom. His kingdom. He came, Jesus came and he preached the kingdom. His way of doing things and being right. God's way of doing things and being right. If we're able to do that and make much of that, then when you need that power for your neighbor, when you need that power in your workplace, when you need that power at the supermarket, when you need that power whenever you, wherever you go, if it's a disgruntled family member that you've been praying for over and over again and you just can't get that breakthrough, God is going to give you that breakthrough at that point in at that point in time. He's going to give it to you. So I'm going to ask, if you find yourself in a position where you feel that you've been distant from God simply because you haven't practiced his presence, simply because when you heard sermons about prayer, you thought that it meant that you had to run home and pray more as opposed to making much about the time that you do pray, making much about the God who called you into relationship and was willing to do whatever he needed to do in order to secure it once it was lost because of us. If you find yourself in that situation, as all heads are bowed and all eyes are closed, I'm going to ask you to identify yourself by raising your hand, saying, yes, that's me. I believe that I'm far away from God, farther than I should be, just because I haven't practiced his presence the way that you're speaking about today. Well, if that's you, I'd ask you to put your hand down and pray this prayer with me. Dear God, you know me. You created me to know you. It was in a love relationship that you even gave me to come into being. And I pray, Lord God, that even though I haven't spent the time cultivating this relationship that you made available in Jesus Christ, that you see me where I am right now and you take what you've made available, and the little that I have, and you multiply it. Lord, I pray that where I am today, I won't be tomorrow. Lord, I pray that your word over me proves true, because your word says that even when I am faithless, you remain faithful, because you cannot divorce yourself from yourself. And so I pray, Lord God, that wherever I find myself today, I know and understand that it's because of your grace that you calling out to me today, and I will not be like those who heard your word and did nothing about it. But I choose to step toward you, because your word says when I walk toward you, Lord God, you'll walk toward me. And as we do that, Lord God, I pray that everything changes, that I'm known. And as a result of me being known by you and knowing you, I'm able to do great exploits for your name's sake. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Pastor